Hey, everybody, welcome back to the My Wave podcast. Super excited to have you listen in on this episode. Today, we're going to be hearing from Ian DiBenedetto and New Jersey, now North Carolina. Can't wait to hear his story, his wave, his story, his life. But super excited to get to him in just a second. But first of all, I want to give a big thanks to Copilot Studio and Billy behind the scenes doing an awesome job. Check them out at Copilot Studio on Instagram. Today's sponsor, or this episode's sponsor, is Shredder's Surf Camp. Shredder's Surf Camp's at Wrightsville Beach. They are summertime, starting mid-June, going through the mid-August, a four-day camp. You can check them out at shreddersurf.com for a group lesson, private lesson, four-day camp. Check them out and see if they can help you out this summer learning to surf. All right, so here we go. Ian, how are you doing, my man?
Good. How are you, BK? Thanks for having me on, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, buddy. Good to have you on. Thanks so much for doing this. So, Ian, we made it, I guess, what, about a month ago?
Yeah, probably closer to two. Yeah, somewhere around there.
Okay. Time flies when you're having fun. But we met at Wrightsville Beach Surf Church. They're meeting at Jerry Allen's bar, getting ready to go outside from Easter on. They'll be back outside under the pier, and met you there. And that was super cool to hear what God's doing in your life. But here we're to talk about surfing. And if the God topic comes up in this conversation, great. But we want to talk about your wave, your story, your life, man. And so let's jump on in. Very first thing that I learned about you, Ian, was that you serve in the United States Army.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, I've been in for 11 and a half years. Been stationed at Fort Bragg for most of it. Infantryman, airborne ranger infantry. Okay. Just a ground pounder, you know. but I've been fortunate to do a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah. Well, Ian, thank you so much for your service to this country and putting your life on the line for us, for the freedoms that we enjoy. It is much, much appreciated, bro.
I appreciate it. It's my pleasure.
Yes, sir. So where did you start surfing?
So I started off in New Jersey. I grew up a couple blocks from the beach in a place called Ocean Township, which is in Monmouth County, kind of like central, right on the coast. And grew up as a little kid going to the beach with my parents and stuff like that. And I would always see guys out there surfing, and I was always drawn to it. And my parents got me a surfboard one year for Christmas when I was probably about, I don't know, maybe like 11 or so, okay, somewhere around there. And, you know, from that point on, and it was Christmas, so it was the winter, and I was like on it on my bed all the time, like standing on it, like just couldn't wait to get it out. And, you know, once summer came around, the water warmed up, I was out there like every day, just trying to figure it out, you know?
That's awesome. So 11 years old now. I have only been through New Jersey once. So I ran up to New York with my son trying to get his visa to go to South Africa, and we had to go to the consulate there in Manhattan. And we were looking at Long Island, and it was kind of blown out. And we were like, "Hey, let's head on down. New Jersey looks like potential." So we just cruised down and probably drove through your town along.
Yeah, I guarantee there. It. Yeah,
yeah. And we stopped in how do you say it, Manasquan?
Manasquan Inlet.
Yeah, so we stopped there because, you know, you go into surf checks and there's a camera there, you know, and it was like, and then you see pictures in Eastern Surf Magazine or Surfer Magazine, and there's, you know, that's like the picture spot. So we wanted to go there and see what we could see. And it was cold and windy and not much happening on that north side, but it looked like the swell was rolling over to the south side. So we drove around and checked it out, and there really wasn't much, but we found a really good little restaurant right there. It was delicious.
Oh yeah. 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 The south side of those rocks gets really good barrels. Breaks pretty close to the beach, but that's a really good spot. And yeah, like you said, they're there are photos of that, and you know, I used to see it in, you know, ESM magazine growing up and stuff like that. Like, oh, it's cool, it's right down the street, you know.
Yeah. How far is that from where you grew up?
It's maybe like 10 miles or so.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, super close. Yeah.
Would you go there regularly?
You know, I was spoiled and I was so close to the beach. I just surfed my local break like all the time, you know, and I could ride my bike there or walk there or ride my skateboard. So I would always go to the same spot and we had a little crew and stuff like that. So
that's sick. So you had a crew of guys and girls to surf with?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. A bunch of friends and guys that I, you know, would always try to learn from and stuff like that. So,
okay.
And it always kind of pushed me into waves and stuff. So it was good. It was a good time.
Yeah. So this crew, were they mostly older guys?
Yeah, for the most part. We had a couple of friends that were my age and we'd go out but most of the guys who were really shredding were some of the older guys, you know, and we'd always try to learn stuff from them and we'd pick up on what they were doing, you know.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
It's great to have. And now, you know, you're getting connected with this group of guys here at Wrightsville Beach. And you have an opportunity to pass that on. I'm not saying you're old, but you are definitely older than this group that's out there. And it's been fun to get together with them and hoot and holler and laugh.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a blast. And it's super cool to see how excited they get, you know, when there are waves and stuff like that, to learn new stuff.
Yeah. So from New Jersey, you started surfing. Where did it go from there as you got older?
Yeah. So I surfed a lot growing up in New Jersey. And then I kind of started getting onto the wrong path and hanging out with kind of the wrong people, doing the wrong thing, getting into dangerous substances and stuff like that. And kind of, you know, derailed my surfing. I was into competitive surfing and, you know, I loved it. I'd go out all the time. And then, eventually that kind of slowed down. Hmm. And then.
So competitive surfing, was that ESA, NSSA?
Yeah, ESA, the Central New Jersey division primarily.
Okay.
Was you know, some of the ones that I was doing. I never did great. I was like a second place, third place kind of guy maybe. Mm-hmm. But I was just excited to make it out of my heats.
Sure. Sure. Now, I think when you'd picked up some sponsors while you were doing that, right?
Yeah, I was sponsored by a local surf shop and then briefly for O'Neill wetsuits and then Sharp Eye surfboards.
Okay.
Pretty much just getting kind of discounts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It was nothing too serious, but that's essentially back then, at least. I don't know. I feel like sponsorship and all that stuff has changed quite a bit. But back then, at least, that was kind of where you started off. And then you just take it from there, but they expected you to keep competing in order to kind of keep some of those deals and discounts and stuff like that going.
Yeah. I think when you had shared this last time I heard you were saying kids today that are sponsored have social media, they can post stuff, they can shoot videos, et cetera. And their sponsors can see a lot of activity from them where, you know, not too long ago you had to compete. You had to get your name on those standings, you know, posted in ESM magazine or other magazines,
right?
Just to keep those sponsorships.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, ultimately their goal is to get their brand out more and have the best marketing as possible. And so therefore now, you know, some of these kids that have like a ton of like Instagram followers or something like that, it's more beneficial. They might not be the best surfer, but it's more beneficial if they have a following in surfing for the sponsors to, you know, sponsor that person and potentially, get their name out to more people.
Yeah. Yeah. So in this, you know, surfing, have you traveled much outside of New Jersey, the U.S.?
So I've been fortunate. I've been able to travel quite a bit, up and down all the East Coast. Was been able to hit a bunch of different spots, West Coast, California. Surfed like the Huntington Beach area. Haven't been out to Trestles. Had a trip booked for that, but COVID hit. Mm-hmm. And then Nicaragua was an amazing place to surf. Just great people, great waves. Just really cool. That's been my favorite place that I've ever traveled to for surfing, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I've been to Nicaragua, but I've never surfed Nicaragua. So
I don't know.
Maybe we'll have to plan a trip, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I'd love to go back.
That's cool. So any surf adventures on deployment?
Not quite. No, not quite. Contrary to popular belief, Afghanistan doesn't really have too many great waves out there, but no, a lot of daydreaming and, thinking about trips after deployment. Right. Yeah, a lot of that going on.
I hear you. So where are we going tonight with your wave? Where's this wave at?
Yeah, so not too far from where you mentioned before of Manasquan, actually just a bit further north, a place called Belmar. I'm sure you guys had to have passed through it if you guys probably passed through Manasquan. So yeah, this place, Manasquan, Belmar, excuse me. You know, in New Jersey, we have jetties, and I think I was talking to you about it. It's a different dynamic surfing in North Carolina, where there aren't jetties on every street. We have different shifty sandbars, and it's like you never know where's going to be breaking when, and kind of what to predict. And it's similar in New Jersey, but we have kind of our favorite jetties, and you kind of know what it's going to do.
I spent a lot of my time in high school surfing in Ocean City, Maryland. And so I don't know if you made it down Delaware in Ocean City, Maryland, but at that time, Ocean City had jetties. They weren't every block, but they were very consistent. And I mean, they went out far, and yeah, you could have this peak coming off of this jetty, that peak coming off of that jetty, and this little middle section. And you could choose, you know, all up and down the beach where the swell was coming in and the best jetty. And it was a lot of fun. So I can relate to like jetty surfing.
Yeah, for sure. They're like little point breaks, you know, every block or so. But so yeah, Belmar, New Jersey. And, you know, when you had asked me to come on here, I was like, man, I've been able to experience a lot of really good waves in my life. But one really kind of kept coming back into my mind, and it was probably about head high day, nothing really crazy, and it was back, I was probably about 17. Mm-hmm. Head high day, pretty glassy, just peeling right off the end of this jetty, and I was out with two of my really good friends, and this wave had come in, and I was just kind of in the right place at the right time and pulled in. And, you know, it wasn't like the craziest barrel I'd ever gotten. It wasn't like nothing. It was probably about a 3 to 4 second barrel. But the coolest part was that one of my really good friends was paddling out just at that time and, you know, saw the whole thing and was just super psyched. When, as soon as I came out of it, he was right there, and we were both, he was more psyched than I was. And, and so, you know, sometimes like the company that you're with when you're surfing is, you know, that really makes the whole session. And, I just kept thinking about that one.
Yeah. So let's go back then, and let's break that one down. So, off of a jetty, was it a right break?
Yeah, it was a right. It was a right. I'm still really terrible at backhanded barrels, so that would be a left for me, since I'm regular. So okay. It was a right.
Okay, so you're goofy footed or regular footed?
No, regular.
Okay,
yeah.
So this was a front side barrel for you.
Yep.
All right. Yeah. So you and some buddies, and it was just setting up. Was it winter time, summertime? What was the water?
It was fall.
Fall. Yeah.
It was fall. I believe it was around September. So, I don't remember if it was hurricane swell. It's usually a lot bigger than that when we get hurricanes, but it was around that time, you know, when the tropics are pretty active.
So, like, you've surfed Wrightsville Beach now in the fall, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, you can be in board shorts Wrightsville Beach up October, you know, occasionally.
Easily.
And
easily.
What's the way water temperature in New Jersey in the fall?
So September in New Jersey is really prime time, because that's when most of your tourists leave. People that are down there seasonally, they all leave then. The water's the warmest. The air's cooling off a little bit, but the water generally stays pretty warm. Okay. So you're still in board shorts then for the most part, and it's like, it's the best.
Now, it's not 80 degree warm.
No, it's not. I forget what it. I've been down here for so long. Maybe around 70, somewhere around there, give or take.
Right.
Somewhere around there.
Right.
Yeah.
You get water around 70 here at Wrightsville Beach, and people are already in a 3-2. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. It's a little bit different up there. Yeah.
Right. What's the coldest you've ever surfed?
First thing that comes to mind was day after Christmas this year. A good friend of mine and I paddled out, and it was, the air was I think like 25, and I don't know what the water was, high 30s maybe.
Oof.
It was pretty brutal.
Oof. I remember in Ocean City, Maryland, Easter, some friends of mine, we drove out. And we slept in our car. It was miserable. It was so cold.
Oh, got
up the next morning, and it was massive, bigger than I had ever surfed at that time. And I think the water had just warmed up to 40. And it was just ice cream headache. You know, we were wearing a spring suit and a full suit over top of that. And then, you know, boots. I think I only had like a 2 mil hood. It was brutal.
Oh. Yeah, that's rough for sure.
Yeah,
5.43 is that bare minimum for surfing up there in the winter. So some guys have the 6.4s wetsuits, but that was always a bit much for me. A good 5.43 will get you through the winters up there.
So Ian, part of this podcast is learning, teaching people ins and outs and different things about surfing and whatnot. And when you start saying 3-2, 4-3, 5-4-3, 6-4, what does that mean? Can you enlighten us?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So, what that means is the thickness of the neoprene on the wetsuit. So, the heavier, thickness. So when I say 5-4-3, essentially the 5 millimeter thickness part of your wetsuit is going to be around like your torso, to keep you warmer in those regions. And then, as you go down to 3 mil, it'll be kind of on your extremities, your, legs and arms, stuff like that. So it gets a little bit thinner.
Yeah.
So that's just to keep your vitals a little bit warmer for longer.
Right. Now, wetsuit technology has just changed amazingly. You know, as I shared, you know, spring suit and a full suit and then boots and gloves. And I mean, I spent a little bit of extra cash, don't tell my wife, and got the O'Neill Mutant Legend.
Oh, yeah.
It's a 4.5, 3.5 with a, it's got a hood you can take in and out and just, oh my goodness. It's not like anything I've ever worn before. It's flexible, it's hot, it's just been awesome. So I'm glad I dropped the extra coin on that.
Absolutely
suit.
Yeah, it's worth every penny. I had a brand new suit when I had gone out the day after Christmas this year, and my buddy was surfing with his Patagonia suit that was probably about 6 years old, so some of the stitching was a little bit worn, and you know, they just wear over time. That's what happens. Neoprene's tough to keep new, especially the salt water is just so abrasive to it. But he we were out for probably about an hour or so, and he was like, dude, I have to get it out. I'm freezing. I was like sweating. You know what I mean? It's wild. Yeah. It's crazy how different they can be.
I remember times surfing in high school where I'd look at my friend and I'd go, are you kind of cold? And he'd be like, I'm cold. And you can't talk. You're slurring your words. You know, you're starting to laugh. You know, hypothermia is kicking it. Maybe we should stop.
Exactly. You just want to go out for one more.
Yeah. Not good feeling.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. So you and your buddies, you're on this right point coming off this jetty, and fun little conditions offshore, I take it, winds.
Yep.
And
you
saw it coming. Did you have to say, hey, to your buddy, this one's mine? Or were you priority, or how's that look?
No, I was out with two other friends, and they were both paddling out. Okay. And I was really the only one there. That's the great thing about some of these jetties is you have quite a bit of options. If they're all running relatively the same, you can kind of find one that, you know, maybe just you and your buddies can get out on. And that's what happened that day. And came in, and I was just in the right spot. And offshore, it wasn't blowing offshore very hard. It was maybe out of the west, like 5 knots or so, like glassy, but not like super hollow, just fun, like playful conditions.
Yeah, not blowing spray in your face as you're trying to get into it.
Exactly. Yep, exactly. So that one came in and it set right up. And you know, I was thinking about this, so that the feeling that you get when you know, when the wave's just about to barrel over you and you know that you got your timing pretty right, is almost as good as the barrel itself.
Yes. It's all those elements coming together.
Exactly. And I just remember came off the bottom turn, and I saw that it was going to do what I thought it was going to do, you know, which is the name of the game in surfing. And so then I was just kind of getting ready to enjoy the barrel. And barreled over me, really glassy. I wasn't too deep, but not super shallow either. Just able to just enjoy it. And like I said, it was probably about maybe a 4 second one. And as soon as I had come out, my buddy was right there, just really psyched, paddling out.
Yeah.
That's
you know, when you're, I've never been in incredible barrels. I've been inside of a lot, but not exiting many.
Yeah, same.
You know, and I guess, you know, you see these magazine covers, or maybe not anymore, not a lot of surf magazines, but you see these Instagram shots of these guys deep in these caverns, and it's chandeliering over them, and they're just like, you know, they're just, how many of them really made it out of that?
I'm willing to bet not a lot, to be honest with you, but they got the good picture.
The picture. But yeah. But to be able to get in one, you talked about, so what were you riding for this barrel, this wave?
So at that time, I really never had equipped. I would have one board and I would ride that board in all conditions, you know, maybe like one board a year. It wasn't until like recently where I started kind of getting crazy about different boards for every condition, which is necessary. But at that time, you know, I was young, and I think at that time I had a 511 Channel Islands thruster, squash tail. I don't even think they were doing like leaders at that point in time. That's kind of like new technology.
Yeah. The leaders existed, but they weren't part of the calculation.
No, yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, of course. They had the displacement, the water displacement, but they weren't like computerized and didn't have all this crazy stuff.
Right. Now, how tall are you?
6'1".
6'1", and you said you're riding a 5'11".
Yeah, it was a little short. I was probably about 17, so I was a little bit shorter then.
Okay, a little shorter, maybe a little thinner. You're not a fat guy at all.
Yeah,
you're pretty shredded. You're pretty ripped right now, but...
I got a ways to go, but But yeah, I was probably a little bit shorter, but I was me and all my friends used to just try to ride as small. We're on this big kick of like riding these tiny little boards, and but that was one that I finally got that was like appropriate for my height. And
I've got a friend that he's an older gentleman, and I've been trying to get him on the show, but he actually plays the bass for a ministry here in Wilmington. Anyway, he plays on Tuesday nights, so it's hard to get him in. But I paddled out on this little bitty board when I first met him, and he's like, "So you ride that potato chip?" It was an older board, and it was super thin, and it was just hurting my shoulders bad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It takes a while to kind of dial in. And I think that's part of the fun. Just trying to dial in different dimensions and see what works. And you know, it's an expensive experiment, but it's a blast trying to figure out what boards work for what conditions.
Yeah. So what are you currently riding?
So currently, I just last week, Jason, who shapes for his company called Quiver Concepts, was able to. We went back and forth, and I was like, man, I want something like a mini Simmons, something that just like I can just fly down the line and boost airs off, you know, on like 1 or 2 foot waves. And we went back and forth, and he was like, "Hey man, have you checked out my YW, which is a, you know, fish outline with a diamond tail?" And I was like, "Yeah, that looks cool." I was like, "I don't really know how it's gonna ride, but yeah, let's go for it." And it's a 5.6. So here I am talking about these tiny boards and riding one. So it's a 5.6, 2¾ wide by 20, or 2¾ thick by 22 inches wide at the widest point. And then it kind of narrows down to that diamond tail, and it's pretty pulled in by the tail. So paddles great, is able to turn really well, very responsive board actually. And
so you've got it now.
Yep.
You got it in a quad.
Yeah. Okay. He typically makes the twin fin with the trailer, and I've gotten on this kick of riding quads. I just think they're so fast.
Yeah. Yeah. I bought my son a 6'4" modern Love Child, and it's in a quad setup, but it's got the single fin option. And he rarely lets me borrow it. I don't understand why, but I finally guilted him in to let me borrow it the other day, and had a lot of fun. I've never really ridden a quad. For those listening out there, a quad has four fins on this, two on each side. Typically one's a little smaller than the other. I'm not into the science and the everything of it, so maybe you can fill us in. But that quad, what does the quad do?
Yes, for you. So the idea is that with the quad setup, essentially kind of as you're pumping down the line, the way the fins are placed in proximity to each other, it allows the water to flow faster through the tail. So gives you more speed. It can loosen up the tail a little bit too, depending on kind of where they're placed. So I enjoy that. Some guys say they're a little bit stiff for them, but I've found them to be looser, especially if I use a smaller size trailer fins. Okay. So the ones that are in the back, if they're a little bit smaller, I have a blast with those.
Well, that's cool. That's cool. So you've only had it a couple weeks?
Yeah, probably about a week. And so I haven't really been able to take it out. There haven't been great waves. It's been, you know, knee to thigh high. But the fact that at 200 pounds, I can even get into knee to thigh high waves kind of speaks volumes about that board. And I was able to do some fun turns, and had some good sessions on it for being tiny waves and being a small board. It's got a lot of volume and some great float, so it's a perfect summer board.
So you said this is Quiver Concepts.
Yep. Yeah,
he's a local Wilmington guy.
Yep. He shapes out of his house, I believe, at least that's where I picked it up at. And yeah, he makes some really cool boards and some really cool products. And yeah, I'm having a blast on mine so far. So,
well, that's good. That's good. So I'm sure they've got website or Instagram. Check them out. Quiver Concepts.
Yeah. If you just type in Quiver Concepts on Instagram, it'll come up there. And, you know, his prices are great for people looking to, get boards made like exactly how they want to. And you know, lately I've been all about kind of, you know, there are all these big name companies making tons of boards, and they're most likely, you know, they're not hurting too bad. I've really enjoyed giving my business to the local shapers and stuff like that. And it's been really cool, to be able to sit down and work with them and talk to them about, you know, hey, what do you think about this fin setup? What do you think about these dimensions? And, you know, sometimes my ideas are pretty off. So it's good to have guys that have experience with all that stuff kind of reel me in and be like, hey man, that's, no, let's do this instead. And I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah, sounds good.
It's definitely a plus to get local knowledge on a board that you're going to surf in this area. But, you know, those China made boards, they're good. I mean, but keeping it local, keeping the money, you know, here and supporting, you know, board makers, they're artists.
Yeah.
There's some amazing stuff that they do. And, you know, I've never made one personally. Maybe that would be a bucket list item for me, but man, I've been in several shops. I've sat and watched, and I'm just blown away. It's an art form. I love to watch these guys do what they do.
Yeah, absolutely. They make it look easy. I thought that too. I was like, man, this would be an awesome hobby to get into. You know, learn a lot. It would be really cool. I talked to one of my buddies and he was like, dude, have you ever tried to make one before? And I was like, no. And he's like, I did, and it's just, it came out horrible. Everything was asymmetrical, like nothing was just, it was like, it was a mess, man. I'll leave it up to them. I was like, I might try it, but I know they make it look like everyone can do it, and that's, it's kind of not the case.
right. Years of experience applied to their art craft, and it's a beautiful thing to see. That's cool. That's cool. Absolutely. So you have any trips coming up?
I actually don't right now. I had a couple scheduled and then all this COVID stuff happened, and it's kind of tricky leaving the country, so I'm gonna keep it local for a while. Hopefully we'll get some waves, Outer Banks, this area, maybe get down to Florida. But nothing too crazy lined up. I wish I could make it on the Puerto Rico trip, but it's just too last minute.
Yeah. That one filled up fast, and we need to do another one. Hopefully the, you know, Central America will open back up and, get down there. I would really like to take a group to Peru.
Yeah, that would be awesome. That would be really cool.
I've stood on the cliffs looking down over Chicama, and, man, that wave looks like it could be a lot of fun. It'd be a backside for you. Maybe a frontside, long way for me.
Yeah. Hey, that's good. You know, if you got to do what's difficult sometimes, then it's the only way to get better.
That's right. So if you could leave some advice for our listeners, maybe starting out in surfing, or maybe they've been surfing a while, what advice would you give?
Yeah, for sure. So get out as much as possible. You know, if people seem territorial in the lineup or just kind of rude, just ignore them. That's not everyone. That's not the way it's supposed to be. If they're local to the Wrightsville Beach area, pretty much anyone from this surf church will be willing to kind of guide them and show them some of the ropes. But yeah, do a little bit of research before, kind of learn the rules about priority and you know, where you should be in terms of the lineup, and just have fun and get out there as much as possible. And, you know, whether you got a piece of crap little shortboard to start out on, or a longboard, whatever. Just the more time you spend in the water, the more you're going to really learn the ocean, and kind of being able to read waves and things like that is almost equally as important as, you know, the regular skills involved in surfing.
Yeah.
So just get out as much as possible.
Yes. Getting out in it is vital. You know, it's like language study. You can learn it all, but unless you immerse yourself in that culture, you're really not going to learn it. And, you know, you can read and YouTube and all that sort of stuff, but you really got to get out in it. And that's good advice. Good advice. So Ian, be safe if you're driving down tomorrow. I know you're itching to put that quiver concept in the water.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to. So.
All right. Well, Ian, thank you so much for spending some time with us this evening. Anything else you'd like to say?
No, that's really it. I appreciate you having me on, and very blessed to be able to do this. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, Ian, you know, before we close, have you ever read in the Bible anything about surfing?
I haven't, but I know the answer to this question because I overheard you talking to someone about this last week.
Oh no! This is the way I'm supposed to end it. It's my kooky way of ending.
Yeah.
Acts chapter 27, verse 44 is the reference. Right. So this bad shipwreck, Paul, the apostle Paul, and everybody, it says they made it to shore safely. It says some on pieces of the ship, others on boards. So I think we have a very confident reference to the fact that surfing is a biblical sport.
Oh yeah, they were definitely surfing.
Anyway, man, thanks so much. Peace out. And I'll see you hopefully tomorrow.
Thanks, BK.
All right, bro.
Yeah, bye. Sounds good. Thanks.
Hey.